Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download The Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 82 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. So we kind of lied. We said we were going to conclude our Dynasty and Rankings Prospect series last episode, but we got going so long on the Dynasty side of things with starting pitchers, we had to break this up into two episodes. So today we will be concluding our Dynasty and Prospect Ranking series with starting pitcher pitching prospects in general. Give me another really, really fun discussion, of course. And with me to do so, my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. What's going on, man?
Yeah, it feels like we just did it, and here we are again. Dynasty talk, now prospect talk. So many pitchers to talk about. So, yeah, I think it's important that we broke this up so we didn't go 2 hours in the other show and right. Hey, get another episode from us this week. So hope you enjoy as we dive in on these pitching prospects.
Yes, so this is episode 2 this week. You'll be listening to this on Wednesday, and then on Friday, we will be kind of going over the recently concluded Dynasty ADP stuff we were doing. We had all those. I think we had, 10 different drafts there. Chris compiled the ADP, so we'll be going over that. And then next week, we're going to be jumping in with 2 feet right into our 2022 redraft positional previews. Got a lot of very good guests lined up every episode. So definitely be looking for that for all you redrafters out there. But we will be getting to pitching prospects today. This is going to be a blast of an episode. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us, including that entire Dynasty ADP spreadsheet. You get the top 50 for free. If you want more than that, obviously listen to this next episode. But if you want the sheet, you'd be in our, was it 60 grade tier, Chris?
The 50, just the $5.
Just the 50, okay. Yep. So that's our lowest tier. So that'll get you the entire ADP sheet, which is great. And then also check out all of the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including the 2022 Fantasy Baseball Draft Kit. A lot of good stuff in there. Let's hop right into it, though. We got a lot to get to here. Let's start with our top 10 pitching prospect rankings. Chris, who you got?
All right, here we go. Starting at number one with Shane Baz, Grayson Rodriguez, Max Meyer, George Kirby, and Jack Leiter, rounding out the top five, followed by Hunter Green, Daniel Espino, Joe Ryan, Sixto Sanchez, and Nick Lodolo.
Nick Lodolo. I love that name, Lodolo. Sounds like a candy bar or something, Lodolo. I think I'm
Rolos. The Rodo, yeah, the Rolos, whatever it is.
Nick LaRolo. All right. For me, I have same four, top four, but one and two flip-flopped and three and four flip-flopped. I have G-Rod at one, Boz two, but they're back-to-back in my rankings. I can't really pick them apart. They're literally like 1A, 1B in all reality. Kirby three, Max Meyer four. I still have Cade Cavalli at five, though. I'm wondering if I should drop him down a little bit. I'm definitely not as enamored with him as I used to be. Sixto at six, Jack Leiter seven, Emerson Hancock eight, Daniel Espino nine, and Hunter Green 10. Let's start at the top with that elite duo of Shane Baz and Grayson Rodriguez. Do we think that they can get, I mean, we went over Baz a little bit or in depth in the last episode. So I guess we can focus more here on G-Rod, because I think we both basically said that if he gets enough innings, Baz can get to that level of fantasy ace. Do you think the same thing with Grayson Rodriguez, Chris? Do you think he can be a fantasy ace? I'll let you go first, but I'll just say, I'm saying yes.
Yeah, I think he's probably could be even better than Baz. I think everything kind of lines up for him. I mean, he keeps the ball on the ground enough, first off. Then you look at the swinging strike rate for the year of 18.7%, the amount of strikes he throws versus the amount of balls. He does a great job commanding pitches. Just turned 22 years old. Everything you want to see. I mean, he dominated both high A and double A last year. Didn't take a step back at all. Had a FIP of below 275 at both levels, which is pretty impressive. And strikeout rates of 45.5% and 39% in double A. The walk rates are good as well. Above 30% K minus BB rate. Pretty darn impressive there. So yeah, he has everything you want to see. His arsenal is really, really good. He has four at least above average pitches with his four seam slider, curve, and changeup. Then you factor in probably a plus fastball and potential plus changeup. I think the command is there as well. So this is pretty easy for me to say that, yeah, the Orioles haven't done a great job developing pitching, but I think this could be the one to change it. And that new outfield wall out there only helps G-Rod a little bit right. More.
First of all, do you see the dimension, or not the dimensions, the kind of the picture of what there's going to look like? That's supposed to be so weird. It's like, it's going to jut out. Yeah, it's just a weird look. But anyway, yeah, that definitely helps for sure, even if it kind of hinders the value of like Trey Mancini, Ryan Mountcastle, and others. But with G-Rod, I saw him live last August when I was down in the Philadelphia area. I drove an hour northwest of Philly up to the Harrisburg area to see his start. And I think I can say with a high level of confidence that he's probably the most impressive arm I've seen live in the last several years. And I've seen Manning, I've seen Casey Mize, I've seen Nate Pearson, a bunch of others I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but G-Rod was so damn impressive. And I don't even think he had his A plus stuff that game. He still dominated, but I maybe might have his B plus, A minus stuff, which is still better than almost every other pitching prospect on the planet. And you mentioned that swing and strike rate he had of 18.7%. That's around 2 percentage points above Shane Baz. Baz is around 16 points, I think 16.7, and then G-Rod up at 18.7. That is just elite, elite stuff. You mentioned there's four pitches, all above average to plus or better. Fastball, changeup, curveball, slider can all miss bats at a high clip. The breaking balls are sharp. There's good velocity separation between all of his pitches. He commands them all well. Yeah, G-Rod is, like I said, everything, like whatever your kind of definition of a ace is, he checks off all the boxes. He's got the stuff. He's got the command. He's got the control. He has the work. He has that workhorse frame. He's very strong frame. I think he could be a guy that is 180 plus innings year in and year out. There's a lot of stuff to like here with his profile. So yeah, I definitely think, well, I think their upside is probably pretty, or the ceiling, I should say, is probably pretty similar between Boz and G-Rod. The reason why I had G-Rod one spot ahead of Boz, I think there's a slightly higher floor just due to the, I think the higher volume that G-Rod will probably give you in an inning. So yeah, definitely think he could be a top 10 arm long-term for sure. Let's move on here to sort of the guy that was just drafted, Jack Leiter. I think he's, you know, he's by far the top arm in the 2021 draft class, even though like I like Jackson. I think we both like Jackson Jobe a lot, but there's a pretty sizable gap between Leiter and Jackson Jobe. So what are your expectations for Leiter moving forward, Chris? How good do you think he can be?
Pretty dang good. I mean, people are quick to knock him because of the size. He's smaller, but I don't think that's a big deal at all. I mean, you look at his pitch mix, it's really good. Dominated at the SEC level, the highest level of college baseball, for both a shortened 2020 season and then in 2021. We saw the fastball velo tick up significantly last year, which I think was something that he had to do. I think that was a major step for him in really taking that next step in the draft. And, you know, everybody was always Kumar over him, but I've always stood by Leiter from the start, from the beginning of last college season. I'm glad that's worked out. I mean, locating the fastball as he did at 96 to 99 is just absolutely insane how quick that thing gets to you. I mean, you look, he has a lower arm angle, which is great. He gets a little bit of rise action on that. Just everything you want to see in a pitcher, he gets the job done. He's a bull. Man, I really wish that we were about, 10 feet from him in on the complex level games.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're out there watching Texas, their complex team play Kansas City. And, you know, Jack and Al are standing there, and Jack's like going through like all of his pitch grips. It's really interesting to watch. And part of me just wishes that I'd gone over there and say, hey, can you like do this on camera for us? You know, that would have been
cool. We should have.
Yeah. That'll be always be one of my biggest regrets, is that we didn't do that because it was a huge missed opportunity. I bet he would have. I bet he would have done an interview probably for us. And, you know, here we are just talking about how we saw him doing it instead of actually getting it. But hey, it's all good. Jack Leiter's a stud. I'm very excited to see what he can do this year. Obviously didn't see him pitch professionally last year, but should be ready to rock and roll. I've seen him throw in some. He threw a little bit that day in the side field, actually. And then he's going to be, should be ready to go for the spring. Don't know where he starts, but it'll be interesting to see what level they put him at.
I bet you it's probably high A. I think
that's fair.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit aggressive, but yeah, maybe not. He's a, you know, one of the more advanced college arms we've seen the last handful of years. I think high A is reasonable. And how could, so do you think he can be, for fantasy purposes, where do you think, like, where's his ceiling? Do you think it's top 10, top 20? Where do you see that ceiling come?
I think it's tough to say right now because it's always a big transition from college to professional. But I do think that he can probably be a top 10. I mean, we obviously have him as a top 10 pitching prospect, so the hope would be that he can become a top 10 guy in the major leagues. Strikeouts, I think, will definitely be there. The walk rate is probably the biggest concern. I think he's got to get that down a hair. But, yeah, I'm kind of expecting him to be like one of those bulldog-type pitchers that can throw you 200 innings, a rare breed that we don't really see anymore. But, yeah, I mean, he threw 110 innings last year over 18 starts, so that's pretty impressive there, in my opinion. So maybe we see him push that limit and get close to 200 with good strikeouts. And, you know, if the walk rate ticks down, then I definitely think that he's capable of being a top 10.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I quite see top 10, but I can see top 20 for sure. Kind of a guy that's in that conversation of, is he an ace or is he a high end two? I think he can definitely get up into that range, like the, you know, where what arms are there right now, you know, a little bit maybe close to Logan Webb. So maybe he can get pushed top 10. So I do think he's going to be a low ratios guy, especially if that walk rate comes down, like you mentioned. He's got the, you know, all the good secondaries, you know, deep arsenal. You got the curveball, slider, cutter, changeup. You know, the fastball obviously is his best pitch, but really good arsenal throughout. So if that command and control ticks up a little bit, which I think it can, like Texas has, you know, been pretty solid recently. They've gotten some good development of other pitchers recently. Like Cole Wynn took that step forward with his command and control this past year. So I'm hoping they can do the same thing with Jack Leiter. Obviously having his father, you know, that helps. So I definitely think Jack Leiter can be, I'll say a high end two for fantasy. I'm not quite ready to go ace, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was a fantasy ace down the road. Yeah, he's got everything you want from, you know, that type of arm for sure. A couple more arms in this range. Did you have Espino in your top 10?
I don't, but he definitely can make that jump.
Okay, so maybe let's go through. So I think you have both these guys in your 11 through 20. So let's go through our rankings here, 11 through 20, and then we'll talk about a couple of these guys. For me, I have Nick Lodolo 11, and then Yuri Perez, Mick Abel, Bobby Miller, then Joe Ryan. I'm combining names here. Cole Wynn, Peyton Battenfield, Jackson Jobe, Quinn Priester, and Edward Cabrera at 20. What do you got, Chris?
Yeah, I lied. I have Daniel Espino 7. That's the second time I've done that in the last two episodes where I was like, oh, I don't have them there, and I really do. So
stop lying to us, Chris.
My brain has got fog from all the snow outside. Sorry.
all the snow is just kind of messing up that southern brain of yours.
Locked inside for too long. Yep. So anyway, here we go. At 11, have Aaron Ashby followed by Cade Cavalli, Reed Detmers, Kyle Harrison, and Bobby Miller. And then I follow that with 16 through 20 with Matt Brash, Emerson Hancock, Yuri Perez, Mick Abel, and Roansy Contreras.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A lot of fun names in this range. Some breakout guys from this past year. And I think guys that can even take a next step forward. Like the three that kind of stand out to me. Obviously, we had about one of these guys top 10. But Daniel Espino, Yuri Perez, Mick Abel. I think probably have the highest ceiling in this range. So Jackson Jobe is pretty damn close as well. Maybe even Quinn Priester. So a lot of, you know, high upside guys in this part of our rankings here. Do you think that these guys could take the next step forward and be guys that, you know, when we do this next year, next December, January, whatever it may be, we're talking about Perez, Espino, you know, maybe Jackson Jobe being guys that could be up in the top five of our rankings?
Possibly. I even think like Matt Brash, I think probably graduates. He's huge upside in my opinion. So I think he can make that step. Kyle Harrison's another one. I mean, Kyle Harrison.
Yeah, Harrison's an electric arm.
Yep. I'm pretty sure he had the second highest swinging strike rate to Grayson Rodriguez last year in the minors, which pretty dang impressive there.
And he was remember what Robert Hassel said, he was the one of the toughest arms he's ever faced yep. in his life. So, yeah.
That speaks a lot of volume.
Yeah, that's a very good hitter saying that. So,
oh, yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, I think Harrison can make a jump. I think that Matt Brash can make a jump. Yuri Perez is another one that can make the jump as well. So he's in this range for me. So, yeah, I'm definitely on board with several of these guys making big jumps next year.
Who are you most confident in making that jump?
Probably Kyle Harrison. I think he's been the most consistent among these, and he's has the best track record. So I think Harrison is one that will – I'm more confident, at least.
I'll go Espino. I think I've been on record saying that he could be the number one pitching prospect in baseball by this time next year, especially with a lot of these names ahead of him graduating. Like, for me, Espino is already number 9, and I can see him jumping ahead of Hancock. I might even move him ahead of Hancock pretty damn soon here. Leiter will still – I think he can jump ahead of Leiter. I think he's a higher upside than Leiter does. Sixto, I think, should graduate. Who knows? Cavalli could graduate. Meyer could, or if not, I think Espino can jump both those guys. Kirby probably does, and then Boz and G-Rod should. So at least a good 5-6 names above him are going to graduate, and I can see him jumping the rest. So Espino is so damn filthy. I think he's got the best arsenal in the minors, not named Grayson Rodriguez. He's got four pitchers he can miss bats with. He's got the elite velocity. The command has consistently kind of taken a step forward. Walk rate's still a little high, but Cleveland, I have all the confidence in the world in them continuing to help him improve that aspect of his game. So, yeah, I think Espino's going to be up there. And I'm still really high on Mick Abel. I think you had him almost as high as I did. So I think Mick Abel is a great buy low. I've mentioned it before. I think he reminds me so much of Steven Strasburg. This similar size. I think they're both right around 6'5". The four-pitch arsenal that can miss bats with all four. Yeah, his debut wasn't quite as spectacular as some of these other names. We saw like the walk rate jumped up to like 13.5%. But if he can get that walk rate down further, throw some strikes more consistently, like he's got the stuff. Like his stuff is almost as good as Espino's. He seems to have that same development with the command and control as Espino has over the last couple of years. So I think Mick Abel is a great buy low right now.
Yeah, another one I missed too that I think is definitely got the upside to make that huge jump.
Yes, as I think I've looked at some other, you know, rankings, and he's a lot lower on basically. I think I might be the high man, and you might be number two high man on Mick Abel at this point. And I know he's always been a favorite of ours, getting back to our second episode of this show, which was our 2020 FYPD pitcher show, where we just gushed over Mick Abel, or as we called him at the time, Mick Abel. And then we got corrected by, I believe it was his aunt. Something is that right? Like that. Yeah. So Mick Abel. So we've been big Mick Abel guys for a while, and I have not backed off at all. So I think right now with his value, maybe a little bit down from what it was, you know, 6 to 12 months ago, great time to buy Mick Abel right now, because I think he can take that next jump as well and get up to be, I think he could be a top five pitching prospect with this time next year. So definitely go out and get Mick Abel. Another guy, a couple guys that maybe aren't quite as flashy, but definitely have some, you know, good long-term aspirations in the major leagues. Joe Ryan and Roansy Contreras, you know, from Minnesota and Pittsburgh respectively. Let's start with Joe Ryan. He made his debut last year, got five starts, you know, pitched pretty well in those five after a great minor league campaign. Where are you at on Joe Ryan, Chris? Obviously, like I mentioned, he's not as flashy as, you know, these other names we've talked about, but he just gets the job done. And I think he's been undervalued for a while and probably will continue to be undervalued for a long time to come. So where are you at on Joe Ryan right now?
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say, is he's been so disrespected his entire minor league career, because that's all he's done is just consistently get the job done. I mean, you look, and his worst ERA that he's posted outside the majors last year at any level was in AAA last year at 3.63. So, and even then he had a 3.24 FIP, which is pretty encouraging. The strikeouts have always been there, despite not being the flashiest. And he's got pinpoint command and control. He's not going to walk a lot of batters, which is also pretty huge for me. So, yeah, everything points to him being just a really good underrated arm. Again, he doesn't flash anybody with a plus pitch or anything. His fastball only hits 91 miles an hour on average, but gets the job done. His slider's pretty good as well. He's pretty much four-seam slider heavy, mixes in a change in curve occasionally, but I think that he just is going to locate it well enough, and maybe he develops some more velo, or takes, you know, he could adjust a couple pitches here or there and become like even better. But I think with what he's got, he's going to get the job done.
Yeah. And that fastball has been pretty solid despite the velocity, and that shows that velocity isn't everything. He does not leave that pitch over the heart of the plate. Like, he locates it well in, out, up, down to all four quadrants. So definitely, despite, you look at the velocity, it's only 91.2, but that is, you know, better than most 91 mile an hour fastballs for sure. You know, I wonder if the K rate is, you know, going to be as good. Obviously, you know, minor league K rates don't always correspond to the major league K rates, but, you know, I just wonder if he's going to be a big K rate guy, or if he's closer to a K rate or a K per inning, which is still obviously pretty damn good. But, you know, I think he can be I wouldn't say top 25 arm. I can see him settling in kind of like top 30, top 40 type of fantasy arm, a good like SP3 that keeps the ratios pretty low. You mentioned the walk rate has always been very, very good with him. So I can see a low whip, like a 105 to 110 whip, you know, low to mid 3 ERA and around a K per inning. So maybe gets into that Jose Barrios range, or, you know, in that general vicinity, where he could be a very good number 3, back at number 2, depending on how high the K rate is in the major leagues. But
Yeah, definitely a name that's just underrated because he didn't have the flashy fastball. He's a little bit older. Like he's 25 now. He's not like 21, 22 like Boz and G-Rod are. So people always kind of shy away a little bit, maybe, and that's, I think, unfair. So the guys are a little bit older, but definitely love Joe Ryan. And where are you at on Contreras? I like Joe Ryan more than Contreras, but you know, I have definitely taken kind of a step forward in what I thought of Roansy Contreras. Like, you know, came up through the Yankees, or he was always a very, you know, enticing arm overall, you know, in the minor leagues. 3.13 ERA and a 1.10 WHIP, but the K rate wasn't there until this past year. It took a huge step forward this past year to over 33% after being, you know, down well below a K per inning up until he got into the Pittsburgh org. So do you think that K rate jump is sustainable moving forward? And what do you think he can be at the major league level, Chris?
Yeah, I think he can. I think that's definitely sustainable. I hate we missed him in the fall league. Never got to see him with his starts. But yeah, I mean, you overall, I think the fastball really ticked up this year, which was encouraging. The slider is just a nasty pitch. I think he's got an above average change as well, which can only benefit him. So yeah, I'm a big fan. I think that he's probably got like SP3 stuff. He's pretty enticing. I think another one that kind of just flies under the radar and doesn't really get the love he deserves. Maybe it's because he's in the Pirates org. Don't really know. Obviously came over from
that's definitely it. I think the Pirates, even at the major league level, I think just the Pirates in general just get undervalued.
Yeah, I agree. They just don't ever get the love they deserve. But I mean, you mentioned, I think that he just kind of is going to get the job done like Ryan. He may even have more upside than Joe Ryan, which is definitely encouraging as well.
Yeah.
So awesome. We know, I mean, he made a little debut, pitched 3 innings at the very end of the season. I think maybe in the last day of the season, actually, they called him up. I mean, he pitched 3 scoreless with 4 Ks. That's pretty good for your major league debut. So I don't know. I'll be watching him closely, but I do think that he is one that could definitely be a solid underrated arm.
Would you rather have him or Joe Ryan moving forward?
Probably Joe Ryan, just because I'm a little more confident that I think that Ryan has the higher floor, but I think Contreras has the higher ceiling.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would lean slightly to Joe Ryan as well, but I think they're both just really good targets right now in Dynasty Leagues because of how undervalued they are. So definitely go and try to get both of them if you can. Let's move on to the next 10 of our rankings. So this is 21 through 30. For me, I got Reed Detmers, Aaron Ashby, Asa Lacy, Kyle Harrison, Gavin Williams. I messed that up. No, so Reed Detmers, Aaron Ashby, Kyle Harrison, Gavin Williams, Asa Lacy is 25. Then 26 through 30, Mackenzie Gore. I still have no clue what I want to do with him in my rankings. Matt Allen, Logan Allen, Taj Bradley, and Roansy Contreras for me is at 30. Chris, who you got?
All right, so 21 is Quinn Priester, who I love. I actually think he should be a little higher. Jackson Jobe, who could take a huge step next year, we talked about. Edward Cabrera, Taj Bradley, Cole Wynn, Peyton Battenfield, Landon Knack, Randy Vasquez, Tanner Burns, and Simeon Woods Richardson round out the 30 spot.
Ooh, so you still have him at 30, Simeon Woods Richardson.
Yep.
I dropped him to 39. I don't know. He was pretty solid. I saw his AA debut back in early May, and he was pretty solid. Like, his dad was there. I was talking with his dad down watching his bullpen. You know, the one thing I was worried about him was just the overall strike throwing ability, and that kind of hindered him this past year. So his ERA and WHIP got a bit bloated, but it's a good guy. He's got good stuff. Got the solid fastball, not great, but I think it's at least an average major league fastball. You know, good curveball. That was his best secondary. I saw, you know, 12-6 curve, but I don't know. I'm struggling where I value him. He went over to Minnesota. I don't know. A lot of their guys took steps back this past year. I don't know if that's a Minnesota thing or what. Maybe it was just a coincidence, but it could be. I don't know. The fact that both Bolazovic, Duran, and SWR took a step back this past year. I don't know. But yeah, he's definitely one that slid down my rankings a bit. But let's talk about some other guys in this range, though. A lot of Cleveland guys in this range, you know, and even in our last set, like Peyton Battenfield is there. Did you take Gavin Williams in this range?
I don't want to give you an answer without looking at it. No, he's right. He just missed.
Okay, so yeah, don't lie to me again. but you know, he's in this general ballpark. Logan Allen. You know, I'm You know, as I've said before, I've really started to value more and more looking at the track record of certain organizations, whether it's hitting or pitching, good or bad, developing those types of prospects. Like I've kind of dropped down a lot of Los Angeles Angels pitchers because their track record's not great there, Oakland Athletics hitters, et cetera, et cetera. So with Cleveland on the pitching side, I think Cleveland always has been one of the best pitching development orgs in baseball. So that's why I have really started to be more aggressive in my rankings. Like I put Peyton Battenfield in my top 20. He was 17th overall. That's inside my top 100 overall. I have, Gavin Williams is a guy from this draft I'm very, very high on. Power, collegiate arm, that I'm aggressive in my rankings. And then Logan Allen's another one as well. And you have Tanner Burns very high too. So yeah, I think just a general, you know, mindset is to be aggressive with the Cleveland guys, especially these guys we're talking about here. And all, even Tanner Burns, I have him a bit lower than you, but I like Tanner Burns as well. I'd be trying to buy all four of these guys in dynasty leagues right now.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm like way higher than Tanner Burns than everybody. So I don't know if I should drop him or what, but
he's a good arm. You know, so you're a little higher than me, but he's a very talented arm as well.
Yeah. I'm just very high on him clearly, but yeah, this is a good range for all these guys. I think they're all super talented. They all could take a step forward. And you mentioned, you'll know in a second, but I have Gavin Williams just a spot out here of the 30 spot, and then Logan Allen at 35. So both these guys right in this range, they all can.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They're capable of making big jumps. I think they've done a really good job. So they just develop arms. It's what they do. And you have to trust those organizations that keep doing it over and over and over again. They get these guys that, you know, aren't studs, and they develop them into that. So yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, like I said, we talked about like Milwaukee, Tampa Bay. Like Taj Bradley is another huge, huge target of mine. I'm gonna bump him up even more by the time I get my next update on site, which will probably be, I have no idea, March probably at this point. I just did one not too long ago. But once you get in the spring training, I'll probably put another one out there. Bradley will probably be even higher. The ground ball rate, the swing strike rate, you know, everything's there. So I love Taj Bradley as well. So I'll be more aggressive with him moving forward here as well, because Tampa Bay obviously has been a very good pitching development org as well, at least a top five pitching development organization. So a lot of good names to target in this range. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side and get into some of these names that have not been as productive in 2021 and are falling down our rankings here. So we'll get into those when we come back after the break.
You're craving Church's three-piece classic? There's no other option. Two crispy legs, a thigh, and a warm honey butter biscuit are the only way. And that's why we call it a classic. Church's Texas Chicken. Tap the banner to find your nearest location. Offer valid at participating locations.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's talk a couple lefties here that are talented but are trending in the wrong direction right now. Asa Lacy, Mackenzie Gore. Lacy was considered one of the big three from that 2020 draft class, for pitchers at least, with Max Meyer and Emerson Hancock. Both guys are much, much higher in our rankings. Max Meyer top five, Hancock top 10, or you have him in the teens, but still much higher than Asa Lacy. And Gore, former number one pitching prospect. Now we have no freaking idea what to do with him anymore. Who are you more confident in just being a starter long-term between Lacy and Gore, Chris?
Can I answer neither?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, is it yes to either, or I don't know. I think it's below 50% chance for both at this point.
Yeah, I'm feeling, I'm giving Lacy the better chance because, you know, he's much younger. Well, I say that he's actually not true because he's fresher in pro ball. So,
yeah,
he's a college guy. Gore was obviously a high school guy. So, I don't know. I think Gore is looking like an RP more and more every day. I think they're going to give Lacy every chance to develop as a starter at this point because we've only really seen him for one season at this point. So, yeah, but both are trending in the wrong direction. I think that's for sure. And Lacy was not great in the fall league. Gore, I don't care what people say. Gore didn't prove anything in the fall league. He was not good. He walked way too many batters. I don't care what he had a decent first start. His overall, the fall league was just, again, just proved the point that Gore is heading towards being a reliever. That's unfortunate because Gore was the can't miss pitching prospect not long ago.
Yeah, it was Whitley, and Whitley fell off, and then Gore's fallen off. I don't know. These are types, I don't want to buy into either of these two. I mean, I'm still holding out hope for Asa Lacy at this point because I said, like you mentioned, he's newer in the pro ball, so hopefully Kansas City can right the ship there. But at the same time, that's another organization where, you know, they haven't really gotten the best results recently. Like Brady Singer has been a, you know, mediocre major league starter. Jackson Kaur was terrible last year, at least at the major league level. Daniel Lynch hasn't really pitched well over the last 12 months. So maybe that's an org that's just not great with pitching development, which makes me kind of concerned about Asa Lacy, but he's got the stuff. There's no doubt there. He's got really good, you know, really good arsenal, but command and control needs a lot of work. So these two are just not guys I'm looking to buy into in dynasty leagues right now. It's going to be one where I'm probably going to miss out. If one of them bounces back this year, I'm going to miss it. So if you're buying the stuff from these two and you want to buy back in, fine. But that's not going to be me. I don't think it's going to be Chris either right now. Let's go back into the positive side of things here. Let's each give two prospects outside our top 100 overall, not just pitching prospects, but overall right now, with the best chance of jumping into the top 50 overall by this time next year. Chris, who are your two?
And this is probably cheating because I think most people probably have him in the top 100, but going with Jackson Jobe is my first one. I'm always lower on high school arms coming out, and especially ones with not a ton of track record. I mean, Jobe was a shortstop for a while, and then they developed him into a starter later into his high school career. Spins the ball like crazy. I mean, they've set up to like 3,300 RPM on the slider, which is just nuts. Fastball's really good as well, so... Yeah, I'm conservative right now because of the fact that he's a high school arm and he presents a lot of risk, but definitely has the upside to make a huge jump next year. So Jackson Jobe is one that I think will take that jump next year.
All right, my first arm here, I'm going with Matt Allen. Got it missed all of last year recovering from surgery. Only has 10 and a third innings. That was back in 2019. So especially he was drafted back in 2019. And then only has 10 and a third because of the injury, surgery, and then missing off 2020, obviously, due to the pandemic. So not great to have 10 and a third innings going on almost three full years after the draft. But this is a guy that was firmly trending up before he had to go under the knife. Still only 20 years old. He was a high school arm coming out back in 2019. He's a third-round pick by the New York Mets out of Florida. Love Matt Allen. The big fastball. It's a plus fastball. Mid-90s, good finishing life on it. Curveball is also plus. That's an absolute hammer of an offering. And the changeup was really coming along as well. He was flashing an above average or better changeup. So, and a guy that never really had any, you know, big command and control issues. You know, he was still very young, so obviously he's not going to have quite the same command and control as, you know, a more polished collegiate arm, but he had a better feel than most arms his age, and he was really making strides there before going under the knife. We'll see how he comes back from surgery in 2022. Probably won't see him right at the start of the year, but maybe you see him mid-season. And I just think once he gets back and if he shows the same, you know, arsenal, the same improvements he was making, he can continue that kind of vault up rankings. Like, he would be top 100 for me right now without the injury, maybe even top 50 if he had pitched in 2021. Good chance he'd be top 50. So I'm expecting him to do that in 2022 and this half 2021 to be a slight speed bump in his developmental process. So go out and get Matt Allen wherever you can. Who's your second guy, Chris?
Yeah, I love that pick. I'm a big Matt Allen fan as well. I'm going with Randy Vasquez. I've the rival of the Mets, the New York Yankees. The Yankees had some breakout arms last year, and Vasquez was one of those, and he really showed up, really showed out in a lot of ways. I'm really impressed with what I saw from him, watched several of his starts, and looks really good. I mean, the fastball's extremely good. He has this like slurvy curveball that's really good as well. It's probably easily his best pitch. And he throws a change in there too. And, you know, you mentioned, I mean, you see him, he pitched three levels at low A. He pitched to a 2.34 ERA over 50 innings. Then the high A, pitched to 1.75 ERA over 36 innings. And then in double A, 21 innings. We saw that jump to a 4.22 ERA. The strikeout rate was way down, but not concerning because overall he looked very impressive all season long. So with that arsenal, I think he can easily take a step forward. And even there's not much steps for him to take forward other than just bumping up rankings by doing what he did again. That's really the biggest thing. If he repeats what he did, then he's easily going to bump up because he's proven that this is who he is. And, you know, he's 23 years old now, so he's ready. He's advanced. I think he's ready for AAA to see what he's got.
Yeah, I love Vasquez as well. Definitely a pop-up name. Wasn't even anywhere near my top 400 entering 2021, but now he's got us inside my top 200. So really like Randy Vasquez a lot as well. I'm going to go back to the Tampa Bay Orc here, a guy that I mentioned briefly earlier, but I'll go more in depth here. Taj Bradley, very good 2021 season between low A Charleston and high A Bowling Green, combined for a 1.83 ERA across 103 and a third innings, 0.93 whip, and had 123 strikeouts to only 31 walks. That K rate was 31% on the dot, and the walk rate was also a very good 7.8% as well. So one of the arms that had a, you know, K minus walk rate above 20% and a very good swinging strike rate as well. Command and control has taken a step forward for him too. You know, so very, there's a lot to like here in this profile. Fastball and slider lead the way. Both, I think, are going to be plus offerings at the highest level. Rest of the arsenal, you know, mixes in the changeup and a curve as well. Those are behind, but he has shown some development with that changeup, at least some feel for it. So if he continues to develop that changeup and shows even further development of that command and control, similar to the jump he made from 2019 to 2021, where he dropped the walk rate and showed better strike throwing ability, I think Bradley could take that next step and be a top 50 pitching prospect moving forward. So, and again, Tampa Bay, love that he's in that org. So go out and get Taj Bradley as well. Let's move on here to the next set of our rankings. Let's go 31 through 50. Who you got, Chris?
All right. So I got Gavin Williams, followed by Spencer Strider, Asa Lacy, Ian Seymour, Logan Allen, Matt Cantorino, Blake Walston, Owen White, and Jay Groom, rounding out 40. And then 41 through 50, I have Ryan Murphy, DL Hall, Trey Jameson, DJ Herz, Jake Etter, Gunnar Hoagland, Carmen Majitsky, Andrew Painter, Will Bednar, and JT Ginn, rounding out the 50 spot.
For me, 31 through 40, I got Blake Walston, DL Hall, Matt Cantorino, Sam Bachman, Gunnar Hoagland, Matt Brash, Ryan Pepio, Brandon Williamson, Simeon Woods Richardson, and Jake Etter at 40. 41 through 50, Jordan Belazovich, Matt Liberatore, Spencer Strider, Randy Vasquez, Slade Cioni, Luis Gil, David John Hurst, excuse me, and Andrew Painter, Ethan Hankins, and Chase Petty running out 50. And I also, you mentioned Ian Seymour. I have him at 52. Dre Jameson, 53. So a lot of good names in this range here. Let's talk about a few of them here. Where should we start? Let's start with a couple of the guys that kind of didn't have the greatest of years. Like you mentioned, Simeon Woods Richardson had a, you know, tough 2021 after a good start. Same with Liberatore. He wasn't quite as bad statistically, but didn't really kind of take that next step. But also, he was young for the level, was aggressive assignment at AAA. So who are you more confident in kind of bouncing back in 2022 between SWR and Liberatore, Chris?
Oof, that's tough. I think probably
– or you're not confident in either. That could be an answer, too.
I mean, I don't know. I'd probably lean with Simeon Woods Richardson, but I see the argument for both. I think that they're both really capable of taking that step forward that we didn't see. I don't know. I'm kind of torn because, like, you know, Liberatore has that, you know, big spinning curveball. The fastball kind of leaves a lot to be desired, though.
Yeah, it's kind of mediocre. It's maybe 50 fastball. Yeah. I wouldn't say anything higher than that. Maybe even I'd say there's a better chance it's 45 than 55 too.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even strike out that many guys, which is really interesting, despite, you know, the curveball you think would be his go-to strikeout pitch. But yeah, I don't know. It just neither of them are doing a lot for me. I still probably lean Sammy Woods Richardson, honestly. I think that he just has a little bit more that it's untapped potential, I guess. He wasn't good at all last year, like at all. Took a major steps backwards, but I still think there's some value to be had. But I don't know. The command's got to take a step forward with him. That's really the biggest thing, is he showed huge regression with the command and control last year. But yep. He also needs to see a little velo bump with the fastball. There's a couple things that he needs to do. So I'm not overly confident in either.
I'm with you. I saw those. I think in the game I was at, even when he struck out, I think it was 7 or 8 guys over like 5 or so innings. I think he walked like 4 or 5 in that game as well. So, yeah, definitely I'm not confident in either. But would it surprise you if – what if Liberatore had a career similar to a recent signee of the Cardinals in Steven Matz, another left? Do you think that's a realistic outcome for Liberatore?
Yeah, I think that's potentially fair. And
like solid back-end fantasy guy maybe?
Yeah, he just kind of gets the job done. It's not going to stand out, doesn't get a lot of love, but I think that's potentially fair.
Yeah, and he'll have that great defense we talked about last episode and St. Louis helping him out. So, yeah, I guess I'll see some value for both these guys, but probably more of the back-end, late-round flyer or maybe even streamer type of guys. I don't think they're either going to be anchors of your fantasy staff anytime soon. Let's give a couple of names here, guys that are considered, you know, top 200 guys that we would be looking to sell right now in dynasty leagues. Who's that first name for you, Chris?
Oh, me. Maybe Asa Lacy. I think that if he continues to trend the wrong direction, then, you know, you're going to miss out. I think people still believe in him to an extent. So, and this could be a totally wrong move because Lacy has the upside to see his value really jump. So I'm kind of on board with just selling Lacy at this point and getting what you can get for him before I think the struggle, if the struggles continue, then he's like valueless, kind of like Gore's becoming. Like, you're not going to trade Gore for anything worthwhile at this point, but there hasn't been enough bad with Lacy to really not be able to cash out on him. Another one, this is not that I don't really like him, but, you know, I think that Cade Cavalli potentially might be at peak value. He's an interesting pitcher. I think we saw the flashes of upside last year where he looked like one of the best pitching prospects in the game, but then we also saw some struggles as well throughout as he was promoted up to AAA. And yeah, it was aggressive promotions going from high A to AAA throughout the season, but we also saw some regression throughout the year. We saw the walk rate regress throughout the year. We saw the strikeout rate regress throughout the year, which not encouraging signs when your K minus walk rate goes from between the three levels, 37%, 18%, 9%. The swing and strike rate dropped from 20% to 15% to 12% between the three levels. So he may be peak value. So I think you can get probably the best return for him. And maybe people kind of fail to realize the regression that happened there, and you could cash out and get something really good for him.
Yeah, no, definitely. Cavalli, like I mentioned in the start I saw of him, definitely wasn't the best command. Like he's kind of like, it was kind of similar to Woods Richardson, where he struck out a lot of guys, but just wasn't hitting a spot. So yeah, definitely can see him potentially being a peak value. So that's definitely a good one as well. He's probably going to drop down my rankings moving forward here, unless I can see him right that ship in 2022. My two guys, you know, this first guy is similar to Asa Lacy, where it's a very talented left-handed pitcher that could obviously be a very good arm in this league with all the stuff he has, but the command control just hasn't come along. It's DL Hall. He's pitched now 217 innings over four seasons, starting back in 2017, and just hasn't made any strides with the walk rate. Overall, in those 217 innings, 13.3% walk rate. Just hasn't improved. Last year, it was at 12.5%, so slightly better, I guess, but that's still not going to get it done. If we're ranking on stuff alone, he's probably top 15, maybe even top 10. Like, he's got that good stuff. In Baltimore, I have a little more confidence than I used to in the player development. But I don't know. Even with the new I think the new player development stats been in place there for what, 18 months to 2 years now. And 2021, this was just more of the same. Yeah, it was only 7 starts at double A, but just, I just don't see him having the, maybe he's a back end starter. I can see like a Gio Gonzalez type of career where he's like got a lot of strikeouts, but the walk rate's always high. And he's kind of a back end guy with the ratios being pushed up a little bit because of the higher walk rate, probably a high whip rate guy, but I don't know. I can see him pushing to the bullpen, being like a good lefty in the pen, but I just don't know if there's a starter's kind of profile here. We'll see. 2022, I think, is going to be a really big year for him, though. And hopefully he starts at double A because I can get some live looks at him. The other one, similar issues. Luis Gil, you know, he's a guy that I think will get overvalued because, A, he's a Yankee, and, B, he had a pretty solid 6 starts at the Major League level last year. 3.07 ERA, but 1.33 whip is because he's always been a high walk rate guy. In the minor leagues, he pitched 286 and a third innings and had 169 walks in those 286 innings. That equates to a 13.7% walk rate. So I don't see him starting. Maybe he gets some starts this year, but I think that'll depend on who the Yankees bring in. But long term, I think he just gets pushed to the bullpen. The Yankees always bring in guys. There's a lot of guys I like better in this org, like Randy Vasquez, for instance. I think he'll be a guy that's better than Luis Gil long term. So I think if you can cash out on Gil now after that nice little showing he had with the Yankees this year in those 6 starts, I would definitely try to do so because, yeah, this is definitely not a guy I want to invest in personally in Dynasty Leagues right now. But let's go over to some guys that we do want to invest in here. Let's give 2 breakout picks that are currently outside our top 200 that we think could jump inside, maybe inside the top 100 by this time next year. Chris, who's that first guy for you?
Yeah, I think he already did break out, but it's not really getting the love, and that's Cody Morris with Cleveland, another Cleveland arm that's just getting the job done. I think he's got an outside shot to some innings this year, honestly. He's 25, watched him pitch quite often at the University of South Carolina, and he just looked so good last year. You know, the innings were limited and some injuries, but still between – so at double A, pitched 20 innings, a 1.35 ERA, 36% K rate. Then at triple A, 36 innings, 1.72 ERA, 36% K rate. Again, the walk rate sit right around 8%. Lovely arsenal with fastball, curveball, changeup mix. The command can get spotty, but I think it really has improved, and he's just been pretty consistent. I think we're looking at somebody that gets 50-plus innings at the big league level next year and somebody that just doesn't get love at all. So I think the breakout's kind of already happened, but then I really expect that he takes a huge step forward. I mean, you look and swinging strike rate was 13.8% last year, which was pretty darn impressive. So things that you love to see, and I really believe in Cody Morris as being a kind of solid starter moving forward.
Yeah, I like Cody Morris as well, and he's one that I underrated as well, that I'm gonna, you know, I'm correcting that. It's just, he's definitely a very good arm, and I'm gonna go with someone from your team here, Chris, the Atlanta Braves. I'm gonna go Joey Estes, a guy that I underrated, underranked, and I am correcting that now. You know, he was only 19 this past year. He was in low A, pitched 99 innings over 20 starts, 2.91 ERA, 0.96 whip, good walk rate and circuit rate as well. So he's a guy I'm definitely gonna be moving up in my next update a good amount. I was looking at some different stats for minor league pitchers a couple weeks ago, and I tweeted this out too. For pitching prospects age 22 or younger in 2021 that fit the following criteria: 90-plus innings pitched, a K rate above 25%, a walk rate below 8%, and a swinging strike rate above 15%. There were 9 names on the list. A lot of 5 of those are Cleveland and Tampa Bay guys, as you could probably expect, including, you know, Taj Bradley was on there, G-Rod was on there, Logan Allen, etc. But Joey Estes also was on that list. So, and he's a guy that if you look over at Prospects Live, has been starting their top 30 team by team prospect rankings, where they put out the top 5 reports for free on their site, and they do the rest under the Patreon. They had Joey Estes at number 3 in that org, only behind Vaughn Grisham and Shea Langeliers. And I believe that Estes has the highest ceiling of any arm in that org, higher than Spencer Strider. So definitely, I'm going to be targeting Estes a lot this offseason. He's got three pitches, fastball, slider, changeup. Fastball hits mid-90s. Slider is in the low to mid-80s. I think both could be plus offerings. Changeup is his third pitch, but decent velocity separation from the fastball. It's about 9, 10 miles an hour lower. Could be at least an average offering. We'll see how that develops, but he's still young. He's still only going to be 20 this entire year. Has shown pretty solid command and control for his age as well, so definitely an arm that is firmly on the rise. I think he's going to take that next jump here in 2022. Who's your second guy, Chris?
Yeah, I'm going with a FYPD guy and Chase Petty. We already love Petty. I mean, high schooler pumping 100, has a really, really good slider, and this changeup that he's developing. There was a video that came out. It has 3 feet of horizontal movement separation from the slider. Like that's a lot. Of separation.
It's a sexy go find that tweet. There's a video. I guess that's just I just sat there and like stared at it over and over again for about a good 3 minutes. It's just so good.
So the changeup, just ridiculous. 5 inches of vertical break, 18 inches of horizontal run. Like that's absolutely insane. The slider gets 20 inches of horizontal break the opposite way. So that's a 38 inch difference, which is absolutely nuts. So at Arsenal's really good. I think that he continues to develop, just a high schooler, but he's going to continue to develop and be a really solid arm. I think he's going to be very flashy and jump up rankings really quick. So, I'm looking to buy him now because I think he's going to take off.
Great pick there with Chase Petty. I've always loved Chase Petty. It's hard not to when you watch him on the mound, just such an electric arm. It's a great pick there. I will close out the show with my second one here. I'll go with an arm that I think could be the best arm in the Washington National system by this time next year. I'm very high on Cade Cavalli too, but Cole Henry, I think, is a guy that's going to sneak up on some people. He was the second round pick for the Nats back in the 2020 draft out of LSU and got his debut this past year and pitched to very good statistics, but they're even better when you take out the kind of weird two starts he made down in the complex level in Florida, where he allowed 3 earned runs in 4 innings. If you look at just his eight starts and 1 relief outing in high A, which was 43 innings, he had a 1.88 ERA, 0.79 whip, 38.7% strikeout rate, and a 6.7% walk rate for a 31.9 K-minus walk rate. And if you look a little bit further, he also had a 45.2% ground ball rate overall, and a 19.6% swing and strike rate, which was over 3.5 percentage points ahead of Cavalli. Cavalli was on at 16 even, which is still a very good mark as well. 19.6 is very, very good. So definitely going to love to see that. Yeah, it was only in 47 innings, but Henry can miss bats. He's got a very solid frame, 6'4", 215, very strong frame throughout, has 2+ offerings in his fastball, gets up into the mid-90s, can touch higher than that. Big curveball that can miss bats consistently. Also mixes in a changeup. That's definitely behind the other two, but I do believe that could be at least an average pitch in time, just a good third offering to help keep hitters off the fastball, curveball. Command control, which was one of the areas that were kind of, maybe considered a weakness of Henry when the draft came around a couple of years ago. He's improved that. I think I wouldn't say he's not a pinpoint guy or anything like that. He's not plus command control, but I think at least average in both of those departments, with the chance to maybe even get a little bit higher than that. He's still pretty young. He's 22 now, but still very, he's still in the low level. Still got a lot of developmental time left, I should say. So think that could definitely tick up as well over the next couple of years. And yeah, there's a chance. I think he could be even better than Cade Cavalli. And I say all the ingredients are there. Two really good pitches, solid third offering, solid command and control, can miss bats, gets ground balls. Really like what I see out of Cole Henry, and I'm going to move him up substantially in my next update. I think he's going to be a guy that could be a top 100 guy by midseason. I think that's how high Cole Henry is going to climb. But that's going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And of course, check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on our Patreon. We will be back with you all on Friday for that Dynasty ADP talk. That'll be a fun episode. But until then, everyone take care.
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. Moca will help transform your business. Visit benext.thinkmoco.com to see how we can help you be next.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit kindleyatasbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.